You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Hi, welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. It's Wendy Brand, your host. And we are celebrating my 100th episode today. I can't tell you how all the emotions I'm feeling. Shocked, excited, nostalgic, all the things. Because in February of 2023, after I had left a 30-year career in corporate America, walked away from that all in October of 22. Never did I think that just 2 years later, I would be celebrating 100 episodes of my podcast. So what you're going to hear, well, let me just start by saying that when I first started this podcast, I was October, November, December, January, February, I was 4 months into having left my corporate career. And I started the podcast, oddly enough, because I wanted to figure out what I had done wrong. I had spent 30 years as a high achiever. And in October of 22, I burned out. And I know, and most of you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, that the World Health Organization has labeled burnout as a workplace phenomenon. And that happened in 2019 that they officially labeled burnout. And then, you know, COVID hit and gave even more reason for people to be experiencing that workplace stress. The definition of burnout is a workplace stress that's not properly managed. And I think more and more, as the world continues to evolve and change ever and ever faster, we will be seeing more people in those places of burnout. And so when I left my corporate role and started doing some self-reflection, I was worried that I had done something wrong. How come I couldn't handle the workload that was given to me, the promotions that were given to me, the team that was given to me, over 100 employees reporting to me, up to me by the time I left this organization? And so I did a lot of self-reflecting and started a podcast to go out and speak to people that I believed had it all together. Women that were thriving in their role in the world, in their companies. Women that I knew personally, that I either worked with or were friends with, or some were even family members. Women that I saw as successful and wanted to know what the key was, like what the magic bullet was that was working that I hadn't taken advantage of. What had I done wrong? And what I learned in these conversations was there were some things, sure, that I could have done differently. I could have set better boundaries. I could have said no when they tried to give me another team. I could have asked for help a little more confidently, maybe, than I had. But the women that I spoke with also had struggled with trying to make it all work. And so I started the podcast. It was called Authentic Energy because I really wanted to understand who I was authentically. I felt like I'd been putting on, you know, there's this bit of a, not an act, but at least I had felt like throughout my career, for example, I had learned to play golf early on in my college, I mean, in my work career, because I assumed in these male-dominated worlds where I started out in sports, that I would be having conversations on the golf course. And so I needed to learn to play golf, which I did. I did have many conversations on the golf course, not just in the sports world, but when I was in the nonprofit world as well. And so what I realized was when I looked back, like, would I have played golf otherwise? Was I attracted to that sport? No. But I did it because I thought it was part of who I needed to become in order to play in this world. And that's just one example of probably several different things that I did throughout my career to adjust to what I thought the personality type was that I needed to fit in my corporate career. And so authentic energy was about finding who I was and how I could more successfully bring my true self to the workplace. And could I still be successful if I was just myself? So for a year, the podcast was called Authentic Energy. And then after that introspection, I realized that there were things, well, it started because I came across Christina Maslach's book, The Burnout Challenge. And through research, decades of research, what she uncovered was that there is a role that the individual plays in burnout, but there's also the role of the organization. And there are six different mismatches. I've done episodes on this, so I won't go into the details, but the organization plays a role in making sure that there is some way for you to form community, a sense of belonging, and even, you know, that your workload is properly balanced, that there's fairness in pay. When there's these mismatches and even your personal values, when there's a mismatch between the employer and the employee in these six different areas, it can cause burnout. And so once I realized that it wasn't just my responsibility, but that there was a responsibility of the organization, and that not everybody was as fortunate as I was to be able to walk away without another job lined up, to leave that organization in something that I felt was unhealthy for me, not everybody has that luxury. And so I decided that I would find a way that I could help organizations create an environment where employees didn't burn out, or that they could help in whatever way that, you know, in those organizational ways. And so I came up with a framework that I'll do another episode on soon, but the Thrive Culture Framework I have talked about before. And now I have this core culture program that I work with organizations in implementing an intentional culture. I'll do an episode on that soon. I've been doing some speaking on the topic, but today, my 100th episode, I want to take you through eight different guests and their impact on my journey from authentic energy to where I am today as the culture coach. And so my first clip, of course, has to be my very first episode with Mary Stitch. Mary Stitch was our chief legal counsel at Rackspace, where I worked, a tech company back, it was 2000, I was there from 2007 to 2018, and she was there at some point during my career there. But I have always looked up to Mary to be in that role and to be such a mentor that she was to so many people in that organization and in her industry, other attorneys that she worked with and mentored and supported. Just such a giver of her time and wisdom. And so she was one of the first people that I thought of, that she had found this success, and what was her magic secret? And so what I learned, spoiler alert, and you can go back and listen to my episode one, she didn't have all the answers, and she was doing some introspection herself, and which was a shocker to me. I wasn't expecting that in our conversation, but I was so thankful that she was honest and transparent about where she was in her journey, because it really helped me along in mine. So here's a little clip about the hamster wheel that we all get on, and just a reminder about our role in the hamster wheel. And then a little tip about energy depleters and energy igniters. Enjoy.
Most people in the world have jobs that are full-time, and we're doing those jobs most of our waking hours, right? Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, and I have been on that very fast hamster wheel in a career for decades, and it's been fantastic. It's been rich. It's been rewarding. It's been hard. But I finally realized that the hamster wheel is not plugged in with someone else at the controls, right? Like, hamsters get on a hamster wheel and they actually can choose to get off and out of it.
So true.
I kind of forgot that I can control how fast I run and whether I jump off and take a break. I read an article, and the article basically said, look, if you're feeling low on energy, start tracking what brings you energy and what depletes your energy. Write it down. Make a list for a few days. Everything you did in the day. Rate it 1 to 5. Low energy is a 1. High energy is a 5. And one of the things I found is that my interactions with people where I could really be my authentic self and offer to be helpful and in turn ask for help, my energy went up. I'd walk away from a coffee at Ground Town, our fantastic little coffee shop at Rackspace, where I'd done a one-on-one with someone about a challenge for me at work or a goal for that person about what they wanted to try to achieve, or even a negotiation over a new role or a compensation challenge, whatever it might be. And I'd walk away and my energy would be at a 5, right? So part of this is paying attention to myself and pausing long enough to listen and be aware of where I find energy and where my energy is depleted. And look, no job is perfect. Every job, every relationship, whether it's personal or professional, is going to have its highs and lows in terms of energy. But we want to err on the side of finding energy boosters instead of energy depleters.
So grateful for Mary for sharing those bits of wisdom and sharing her story with me and with all of you. Again, if you haven't listened to episode 1, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was a fun episode to do. Next up, I have my guest, Gifty Enright. Now, Gifty was episode 11, and Gifty is you. If you haven't listened, you need to go listen to this episode for sure. She is so spirited. I remember leaving this episode just motivated and, you know, talk about energy igniter or energy booster. She is an energy booster for sure. She's a keynote speaker, best-selling author, mother, and she's a women's leadership and well-being coach in the UK. She works globally, but she is located in the UK. And one thing that she preaches is that you can have it all. There are ways to protect yourself from burnout, but you can have it all. You just maybe shouldn't do it all. Enjoy.
You can have it all. And I actually, when I coach women, I'm pushing them to have it all. And you might think that that is a bit of a paradox because I'm all about avoiding burnout. So why am I pushing the women to have it all? And it takes skills to have it all and not burn out, right? And so, yes, have it all, but do not do it all. And that is what people don't get. And they think they have to do it all. And that is where you need to get smart. And so in terms of avoiding the burnout, A, you have to be comfortable asking for help. And it takes self-esteem to ask for help, right?
Yes.
Some people just do not have the self-esteem to ask for help because they think that by asking for help, it means that they are a failure, right? And you have to give people actually the privilege of helping you. There are people standing around to helping you. And so it's you understanding that. And sometimes it means actually going out and building that community of people to help you. Because when we're talking about children, it takes a village. But what they don't say is that you have to build your own village, right? And so it's up to you to develop those relationships of that give and take of people that will help you, will drop everything to help you where you will drop everything to help people. And that is also good for your mental health as well. So, you know, it is really, you know, the second thing I said, which is a close personal relationships, is to have that group of people that you know will help you. That always makes you feel safe. It releases oxytocin. It makes you feel connected, that you have a sense of community, right? And that avoids burnout, right? So when you're there burning yourself out trying to do everything on your own and trying to prove to everybody that you're badass, what you're doing is alienating people, creating a distance. People can't relate to you because you always come across as, I've got it all, sus. And we know you haven't got it all, sus. So who are you kidding? You know, just chill out a bit. Let people in. Let in the support and build those close personal relationships because it's good for you, it's good for your hormones, and it's good for the community.
Was I right? So inspiring, so engaging. Great episode. Go back and listen. So The next clip I have for you is Marquis Murray. He's the founder and CEO of Surface, and he helps his company that he founded helps companies improve the way that teams work together. And what I loved about his story, what I wasn't expecting, was he had his own burnout story that he shared with me. The reason I'd reached out to him was because I had come to understand through my, I mentioned the Burnout Challenge book by Christina Maslach and the 6 mismatches between employee and employer. And one of those is lack of control. And when an employee feels that lack of autonomy or control over the work they do, it can be one of the things that leads to burnout. And so one of the things that I work with my clients on to help prevent this is really making sure that you have clearly defined roles and processes and systems in place. And so the work that Marquis and his team at Surface does is they do a lot of work with Asana and other tools to help streamline and automate processes so that the teamwork, it makes the work between teams a lot easier. And I believe also helps prevent burnout, because when things are very clear to employees, there is less chaos and it just makes for a better workplace. So let's listen to Marquis and some of the feedback that he has for us.
I want you to think about your team. I want you to think about them outside of the job, outside of Zoom calls. Think about what they could be going through in their personal lives. Think about the person that is sitting on the couch on a random Wednesday night, working late because they didn't have enough time in the day, saying to you, hey, I need to take a mental health day. You know, think about that person, what they could be going through in their lives and how your need for processes and efficiency is really impacting them. Because at the end of the day, they are the ones that are going to make the difference. And if they're constantly giving you that feedback and you're seeing signs of burnout, maybe in your one-on-ones, something has come up, I need you to listen to those people. Because they are the reason why you are ultimately going to hit your goals and why you're going to be successful. And you owe it to yourself as a leader, and you owe it to your team as a leader to be the change in the organization that they need.
So great. I mean, really great wisdom for managers. And I think the key here, the turning point for me here was this burnout story. His burnout story, but also the role that he understands that a manager plays in protecting your team. And so go back, listen to episode 44, Marquis Murray, really a great episode in how to, he shares his burnout story, but then also as a manager, how to protect your team. Which takes us now to one of my favorites, Pam Nimick. Pam was my leader at an organization, and she was really one of the best. She had such a way of highlighting people's strengths and putting them in roles where she felt like they could succeed. She saw things in me and helped me and helped others see my strengths. And I will be forever, ever be grateful for her role as my leader and the friendship that we've had over the years. And today, Pam is a speaker and consultant. She helps organizations use strategic communication to connect their people and drive performance, and she's really good at it. So I have 2 clips from her, and really the message here and the message that this isn't a new message for her, even as my leader. One of the things that I remember her saying was like, it's not rocket science, like just be nice to your people. It's not that hard. And so in these clips, she really reiterates that people are your most important asset. So just kind of carrying on from what we heard from Marquis and your role as a manager in protecting your people, Pam kind of takes it to that next level for executives, CEOs, and C-suite leaders, really your role in creating culture and protecting your most important asset. Let's give it a listen.
Culture is built from the inside out. And if you want performance, focus on the inside, take remarkable care of your employees, and they will take remarkable care of your customers. Don't ever lose sight that there are human beings behind those numbers that are helping you achieve all that you want to achieve. And so the best use of your time is to take care of them. and really connect, understand who they are, understand what they need personally and professionally, and then do that consistently. Because that's how you will have long-term sustainable success. Anything less than that, and you will have success for a time, but eventually it will erode.
Next up is Delise Simmons. Delise is a speaker, author, consultant, Vistage chair. She's also my cousin, which makes this especially fun. Delise held roles at Southwest Airlines and JetBlue, among others, has done consultant work for organizations on culture for decades. And so when I started making the shift from authentic energy to the culture coach, I knew that Delise was one of the number one people that I needed to have talk about culture on our show. So this is just a quick definition that she uses for culture, and I 100% agree. Here's Delise.
And we describe it and define it, culture, as a collection of the behaviors of the people within a team, group, or organization. So those collective behaviors are your culture. I have some people say, I don't know what a culture is, but I'd know it if I see it. Well, what you're seeing are either the behaviors or the results of the behaviors. And then the way we're greeted, the way we're brought in, the way employees are treated. So all those behaviors, all those small little, what I call culture points, where the organization intersects with the employee or the organization intersects with the customer, is a culture point. It's a point for us to improve and enhance that culture through behaviors.
So true. The perfect definition. It really does boil down to those behaviors. That's episode 13. If you want to go back and listen to Delise's story, some of the work she did with JetBlue and with Southwest Airlines and a conversation she had with Herb Kelleher, go back and listen episode 13 with Delise Simmons. But now we start getting deep into the tactical culture stuff, the piece that I geek out about. This next guest was Nikki Arsenault, and she was a speaker at CultureCon in 2024. And I did the podcast episode right there on the conference floor of CultureCon. Nikki is the chief people officer at Replicate. And when I spoke to her, she was the chief people officer at Pagoda. But she has worked in the SaaS tech world for a long time. And there's two different clips I have here. One is the way she coaches leaders and talks to them about what is most important and creating their North Star, which I'll just give you a hint. It aligns with my culture compass. And then the second clip is what leaders get wrong about culture. And this is so telling and so true, but I'll let you hear it from her. Enjoy.
Yeah. One thing that is really important when I work with executives that I coach around this internally is, what is that North Star, that mission and vision statement? How do we really nail that beginning of the year, fiscal year, quarterly, whenever we're setting those goals? And how do we operationalize the value system so that we are continually building our OKRs or goal setting to align with that? So it's so important at these startups because they're ever changing, right? Mm-hmm. I know you know this. We're changing goals every quarter. Sometimes priorities shift monthly with the product or customer need. But how do those values stay consistent so that they are that through line with those goals and that they're operationalized, right? So that's something that's really important, that we have that North Star to go back to and that value system to go back to.
What would you say is a misconception that leaders may have about culture?
A couple come to mind. I think one is that you set it and it stays. Mm. So one thing that I coach, especially technical leadership around, is we should treat it like a product. We launch it and we iterate it. It's okay that it changes. It's okay if those systems change as we grow. Sometimes we need to change the values as we grow, just as we change product needs. Mm-hmm. So definitely launch and iterate just as we would a product. And that seems to connect, especially with technical leaders.
Yeah.
And two, that somehow culture doesn't help the business thrive, right? That it maybe is a second thought. And so once we're able to show that culture and people should be the center and that it does drive business results and that that engagement with our employees does drive real revenue or whatever it is that mm-hmm. we're measuring, once we can always, as a people team, HR team, come with that data, that's game changing with leadership.
Yeah.
That episode from Nikki was episode 84. If you are into operationalizing culture, which if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure that you are, go back and listen to that one. It's a good one. She's got really great hands-on experience as an HR leader working with the C-suite to really help bring culture to life, especially in those startups or early day tech companies. Next, I have Emily McQueen, and I had the privilege of sitting down with Emily to do a total of 3 episodes. Emily is a culture transformation expert. I had the privilege of working with her in an organization. We worked together at Rackspace, the same place that I worked with Mary Stitch, my guest from episode 1. But this episode with Emily, there were 3, and this one in particular, talking about culture transformation, I just felt like was so important for this 100th episode because it really speaks to the work I'm doing now with clients, helping to take their culture, take what they want their culture to be, either taking that aspirational approach and then creating an environment that will support the culture that they want, or really reinforcing a culture that they currently have. So let's listen to Emily.
Yeah. So again, anytime you go through a transformation, even if it's part of the organization that's shifting their strategy, it's important to look at, you know, all of those touch points from the talent practices, like you said, to the policies, to even the benefits. You know, I was in one organization where we were saying 401k and, you know, the match and this and those types of benefits, wonderful. But our target audience, and you have to think of it that way, just like your customers, our target audience were graduates who were software engineers and, you know, straight out of school. And they were saying, I don't really care about my 401k yet. Mm-hmm. What I care about is, you know, these types of things. And so it's, you know, any type of change in the strategy, change in your who you need in order to achieve your goal at Fit for Purpose Talent, you have to look at then, you know, that inside out. Am I, you know, set up to attract the right people for this change in strategy? So for instance, we went from in one organization from relationship selling in sales to having it be more expertise and helping them understand their own business and where this technology could help. And so that was a huge shift in, you know, the skill set, how some, not only just your, the sales approach, but also their knowledge. And so we then had to shift to then who do we need to attract and bring in, which then was, well, now what do they look for in an organization? So you can do that from the marketplace to the strategy to, you know, internal programs and practices. But you can also do that, the backing into it. So there's a great book called Fusion. Love this book because it talks about that inside out brand. And so are you who you say you are? So a great example is John Deere. Way long time ago, won't date myself, but way long time ago, John Deere, as the products of farm products, machinery, you know, they get what it's like to be out in the fields with the farmers. However, what was happening is when they were going at, you know, farmers and people who were needing, you know, their equipment and their knowledge and expertise were going in, and they were seeing people in suits in the showrooms. And so they were like, wait a minute, this is not who you said you were. And so you can also do a, you know, kind of back into it from the outside in. We are saying we are this. Mm-hmm. Are we showing up as that? Your core values tell your employees who you show up as for your customers, for each other, for the community. If we're saying this, that this is who we are with our customers, then how do we set our employees up for success? And that is understanding how we need to show up with our customers and our values. How do we, you know, how am I going to be recognized and reward? You know, all of those, again, those touch points that then help me be who we say we're going to be.
Such great insights and information from Emily. Again, her episodes were 67, 68, and 69. If you want to go back and listen to some of the work that she shares. My last clip here is from a CEO, a gentleman that has run organizations and seen firsthand how culture can be impactful in business. And because he experienced that in his own business, he is now working to help founders and CEOs right-size their frustrated cultures and disorganized operations. He's the founder and CEO at Clarity Ops, and his name is Garrett Delph. He was episode 72. It's a really, really good one. I hope you'll go back and listen to it. But here's a clip with some guidance as we wrap up this episode for CEOs, founders, and really any leader.
If you are founder, co-founder, CEO, C-suite, where typically the power to make change lives, challenge the status quo. I think most businesses and most business leaders have bought the lie that chaos is normal and you just got to live with it. Mm-hmm. And it's not the case. And with a little bit of elbow grease, your people don't have to live in a high stress, low happiness environment at the cost of you trying to win.
That's it. That wraps up my 100th episode. Thanks for hanging in and listening to these clips. These were just a handful of the, you know, close to 100 guests. I did do some solo episodes, but I couldn't have done this without the guests that have come on my show and shared their wisdom, their advice, their guidance, their feedback. It's been so great. I've met so many new people. I have been able to reconnect with old friends and old colleagues through this process. It's really been a source of growth for me, and I've really, really enjoyed it, and I'm not going anywhere. So thanks for listening. I hope you'll stick with me, and we'll talk to you next week.